Last week a child was brought to us, two children that have been ravaged, raped by members of their own so-called family. We take them in without money or price. That's never a condition. An older woman coming up from Los Angeles. We've got older people coming in all the time. Four senior citizen homes that we're purchasing. A convalescent home that we're purchasing. A community center where we baptize, and we'll be baptizing again Wednesday night. So many last night after the marvelous healings made the decision to be born again and converted to this apostolic equalitarian message. And so they'll be baptized Wednesday night. The ones that are leaving are the ones that need me. So think about that back there. It's indeed wonderful to be in the presence of God. And always Jesus is present where his body and believers are together. So if you would like to participate in the greatest prosperity that you could ever know, follow the suggestions that the Holy Spirit gave us a few days ago, and you'll see a sign put up, no doubt, that says name and address. It's up here on this to my left. And you're to put your phone number and area phone call, because there's a prophecy coming. It's already been given to the congregation, the day, the hour, to members of it, the day, the hour, the year, and the minute of a great cataclysm, a great apocalypse that will reach the entirety of this continent, and especially horrible, horrible things will occur to California, except Redwood Valley. And if you wish to receive a prophecy about this 2 weeks prior to its happening, you must fill out in this exact fashion. The Holy Spirit spoke it a few days ago, and this is the way. If you don't like it, then your rebellion, you might as well keep your money. We used to not even take offerings. Here you find a minister that owns no car, owns no furniture, owns no house, never bought a new pair of shoes, never bought a pair of shoes in my adult life. Never. I've worn hand-me-downs in clothes, and I've adopted legally 8 children of all races. If you don't want to help with such a thing as that willingly, keep it. Because you're already responsible. You're in the presence of truth today. And when truth comes your way and you don't respond to it, you'll be held guilt. In guilt for the rest of your days and in condemnation. So I have no need to take further concern about whether those who are not in the mind of Christ wish to behave. I know that some of you here love God, and you will give as you have been prospered. Now, if you don't give as you're prospered, don't bother to give at all. Don't just shove a little offering in there and think it's finished. You must weigh this out as the revelation came these few days ago, and now this is the procedure. We used to didn't even pass plates. For years we fed the hungry. We have equal Christmases. All children in our temple get the same Christmas, whether they come from a more advantaged home or a poor home. Every person gets the same birthday in our homes. Last Wednesday night we had the June birthdays. The preacher here doesn't get a birthday. It's a good reverse. It's time that the people got some recognition. No anniversaries in our church. No birthday anniversaries, no pastor's appreciation. We have only Christ's appreciation. And Christ doesn't need money to be appreciated. He doesn't need Cadillacs to be appreciated. And you don't give the Cadillacs to the preachers just because when you appreciate God. You help those that are hungry. You help those that are naked. You clothe those that are in need. You take those in that are strangers. You feed the hungry. You minister to those that are sick and afflicted. Pure religion, undefiled before God, is to minister to the orphans and widows in their affliction. So if you want to appreciate God, you can't do it by giving a preacher a nice car, a preacher's wife, a pastor's wife, tea. They don't need to be honored. No flesh shall glory in his presence. We want to glorify God by taking care of his little ones. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. So open your heart now and give freely. Give freely, child, because not a penny of it's going to help any human being in a staff or the ministry of this church. None of them are stealing. None of them are creating violence or lawlessness. None of them use alcohol. None of them use tobacco. So we're going to take time with our children. We're going to take time with them. Bless them. Bless them. So sweet. You were very sweet little ones. They never sung with the big choir, and you sang just like big people there. Better. Sometimes better. You sang with enthusiasm. Just keep your eyes on the choir director in the future. Watch him. Watch him. That'll give you guidelines. Thank you. Thank you, sweets. Thank you, sweets. You may be seated. I wish to say that I'm grateful indeed for all of you who have come out, for you that are black who have emancipated yourself from the old store-bought religion that has been purchased and sold to you to keep you in misery and oppression. I'm glad for those of you that have been enlightened to recognize that we need to have our own faith, our own vital movement for peace and brotherhood, that we need to get ourselves together. I'm grateful for some of you that have come to the light of truth, and I'm grateful for those that are white who will venture out in a day when evidently Christianity doesn't have enough religion to pour water out of a boot. Because you that are white here are the only ones that love God. They would come any place in this Bay Area to see someone that healed those crippled, decrepit and crippled bones, such as that woman last night and those that left the crutches, that man back there in the right aisle, and the woman that was on her crutches, and the other that was on a cane, and so many I could not remember, and the one that came out of the wheelchair, they would be so glad to come anywhere in this Bay Area to see such a man doing the works of God. They would come anywhere at any time to behold, as we did last week, in four raised from the dead right before our eyes, one in the pool, went down in the water, went down, an older person down under the water, and there was no breath, no breath drawn. There wasn't a bubble, but I just touched him, and he came back to life with a smile. These miracles of the ever-presence of God, this that I'm doing, is being circulated high and low. They're telling it on the mountains. They're telling it in the valleys. There's not a place around this area that does not know of this one that has come in the name of Jesus, healing the cancers, causing the blind to see, raising the dead, and establishing an apostolic order of freedom and justice where all live together, holding all things in common and sharing in the true spirit of apostolic socialism. They know, but sisters and brothers that are white, they will not come because their God is not big enough to cover color. He is not big enough to override their bigotry. The spirit of God within them that they say is God is not noble or loving enough to take in all people. So when they say, I am tearing down the churches, it soon seems certainly to appear that I need to tear down the churches. For the churches have divided the people. They have created racial barriers. They have placed white against black and black against white, poor against the rich. So it is very important then that we tear down the lies and the deception and all the institutions that do not propagate virtue and holiness. There's only a handful of you that are white in this room. It's a sad commentary on the so-called, and I emphasize the so-called Church of God. For there's not one saved that has prejudice in his bones. I mean prejudice of any kind. The fact that you don't clap shows you're guilty. It's true anyhow. You're afraid to become like little children. There's a reservation mentally or emotionally. There's some part in your portion of spirit you do not want to be submissive to truth. Or you would clap and give a claim to what you believe. So I shall presume, let everyone that believes in equality clap their hands. I shall say it one more time. Then I will ask you to leave this assembly, because I need the obedience of childlike faith to raise the dead, to heal the blind, and to cure cancers. If you are so arrogant and stubborn that you will not clap your hands, that you believe in the equality of all races, I ask you to leave. One more time, I ask you to clap your hands if you believe in brotherhood. Get out, brother. Get out or clap your hands. Get out up there, sister, or clap your hands. I said up there, ushers, I want them to clap their hands or leave. That shows, you see, the hypocrisy of your own mind. When someone talks to you and you will clap your hands, and then when they don't, you won't. Your conviction's not very deep. Come over where ours is, and you'll find it's very deep indeed. I find it my custom, and I have healed the sick in a Buddhist temple. I find it my custom when I go into a Buddhist temple to do exactly what they're doing. When I go into a Catholic church, I kneel when they kneel. I reverence their house. When I go into a Japanese home, as I have when I've gone into the far west, the far east, far west from our standpoint. When I go into a Japanese home, I take my shoes off, for that is their custom. You are now in the house of Jones. And that house of Jones is synonymous, as I see it, with the house of God. But I did not say that. I said to you first, this that you could agree with, it's a house of Jones, and if you don't believe it, try as the man was last night with his knife on him to try to stand very innocuously and say he wanted a word, very sweetly. But I knew his spirit, and I said, you shall not have a word here. And then he showed himself to be quite other than the Spirit of God. As he railed in his vulgar railing, he showed that I knew before he opened his mouth what spirit he is. As you know, when people stand, it's my custom always to let them speak, but I did not let him speak. And as you saw the people move when he started to show his ugliness, you would at least be able to admit this morning that if you don't know it's the house of God, you surely know it's the house of Jones. I considered it an insult to any people to go into a church or an organization and show ugliness. They think they're hippie and they haven't got enough hip to get out of the rain. You call yourself a hippie, then you ought to be hip with the truth. When you can't sit and endure the truth, you are not hip. You're crip, not hip. I've got so many of these folks that they throw their hair up in a twist and put on a certain gay kind of color, like they feel that is in company with the movement of youth, and they call themselves hip. Some of the greatest bigots that ever walked out of here have looked like hippies. Some of the nicest people I know who'd give the shirt off their back, dress very straight. And some of the loveliest people I know also have adorned themselves with the so-called dress of the hippie movement. But I found too many who think they're hip, and they walk out when a little bit of truth comes their way. I would say, you know, I used to like beards. And I still can appreciate them because I judge individually. But for all the people who come here with their beards and showed themselves, they'd have been better if they'd have put a beard on the other side. It might have done them more good. I mean that, well, you know what I'm talking about. We've had so many that came in wanting to show freedom. They want to exercise their freedom, but they hurt others. Now, this is a fact I'm telling you. We've had more people in here, something you can think about, you, those that are still left here who believe that they're in the hip or the youth movement or in the freedom movement and the Jesus, whatever you call it. They say freaks. I don't like that word, but that's what you name yourself. So if you want to do honor to that movement, quit showing your posterior as you have in every meeting thus far. Everyone that has come in here and disrupted our meetings have been of that movement. They've shown a very ugly spirit. And if that's God, I fail to appreciate it. I fail to appreciate what that man tried to do last night. Stand up and take up over a meeting. Then to do it so sneaky, to be very sweet, hold up a finger, peace. Then to be so sneaky. If I had let him talk, he would have let me be the endorser of his vomit. But I said for the moment, you are not speaking. You're not interrupting this service. And then you saw all hell break loose in him. His words were condemnation, false Christ. He spewed out his venom upon us and reached in for his little weapon. You know, they talk about not having any weapon but Christ, but when they get in a corner, they always find another weapon. I've had so many freaks come in here on that nature that the sheriff said, I think some of your guards should be posted. He said, maybe you can raise yourself from the dead. But he said, well, you're busy raising yourself. It might be that some other one would be in difficulty and they need to take care of themselves. So I think it should be posted now that there are security people that have been given licensing by the Mendocino County Sheriff that are carrying weapons open and obvious. Because this week I had to stop a bullet that would have killed someone else. It got right in our presence and shot till the blast of the fire was so close we could see the report right from the barrel of it. The person got that close to us. And if it had not been for that which I am in the hundredfold degree of consciousness, somebody would have been dead, or perhaps more than one somebody. Because it would have gone into a whole crowd of people. You see, people around me know that there's a powerhouse here. Some time ago, the people saw a weapon being discharged. It went right into my chest. 3 holes. The nursing personnel put their fingers in it, big as an index finger. But I did not even bother to rest. I got on my feet instantly and healed the sick, stopped an epileptic seizure on the word of command, and counseled all night long. So I'm not personally concerned, but I thought the sheriff had a point. I might be distracted healing someone else or keeping the head of this company together, and thus some others are walking around here that if you think you're going to do dirty work, if you live by the sword, you're liable to find yourself dying by the sword. So every time you look at a camera, look twice. The reason I'm telling that, we got a devil in here who thinks he's going to do something today. There's about 18 guns fixed on you, brother, because I've already sent the message. Is afraid of the big bad wolf. Okay, now I just told you. Now everybody knows. And so if you want to, don't you be afraid. That person, if he could lose that gun, he'd find a place in his bottom side to put it, but he can't right now, and he don't know what to do with it. That's the first time I'm speaking metaphysically. I'm not trying to be crude. I just had that thought, E.R. He thought if it wasn't so big, I would put it there, but it's too big. High time you knew. You may have to do it yet because people are going to be watching close at that door, so you better be struggling back there to see if you can get it done. Don't you worry, you say, it's not safe to be around here. Nobody died here. Nobody's died. This year, 24 people have been brought in that were in from the hospital, like the one last week. I called her out while I was raising the dead in this assembly. Called her out of the hospital, out of the general hospital. She came walking in her 80s, been healed. She felt my spirit come to her, and she walked out from her intensive ward and walked up and down the aisle saying, Jim Jones came and healed me. And I was here, but I was over there at the same time. So you don't need to be afraid around here. This is the most safeguarded place you can know, because the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Some have seen me, and then they have not seen me. I was with them once in a gathering of meditations and prayer and concentration of thought, in a closed room, the whole staff, and then I was not there. I was there, and yet then I found myself hundreds of miles away taking care of a blessed one that had been close. So I can be here, there, and everywhere. For I'm representing God. I have crucified my flesh. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, Jim Jones, but Christ that lives in this body. So I have made my body a part of the universal mind substance. And if you know anything about universal mind substance, you can aim at it here, and it might be 100 yards to the right or the left, and you better just watch out what you're doing. In fact, tonight I'm going to tell you, ER, if you shoot that gun anytime, and you won't do it today, you better get rid of that gun, because I am going to make it come out the backside and go through your belly. You paid assassin. You that would go about doing the devil's due. You that would go out for those rascal preachers and try to kill God's prophets. For it is written that they in the last days will kill you, thinking they do God a service. If you go out of here afraid, you're going to get sick before you go home, sister. Now just think about it. Because I said, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. And we are complete in Him. My movements are no longer the movements of Jim Jones, but the movements of the Almighty, the infinity of infinitude. I am the pendulum of equilibrium. I am the spirit of justice. I have come in the person of Christ, just as Paul the apostle said, what you forgive, I forgive also, he said. Anything you bind, I bind also. And Paul said, I do it not in the name, but in the person of Jesus Christ. I'm here in the fathership degree. I'm not here in the 30-fold. I'm not here in the 60%. But I'm here in the 100-fold, 100% God Almighty. I have inculcated the spirit and mind of God. I have let this mind be in me, which you were told to do. I have let this mind be in me, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, in the form of a servant, considered it not robbery to be equal with God. Though he was a slave, he said he was made perfect through the things that he suffered. He learned obedience through the death and mortification of the cross. And he said in Philippians 2, for all of you to let this mind be in you, what I have. So if the mind is in me, then the body belongs to the body. The body belongs to the mind. So the mind is Christ and the body is Christ, and God is addressing you at this point. God Almighty, and not another, is addressing you in the Godship degree. That's the spiritual truth. He says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. In my heart, I don't think. In my heart, I know I am the tabernacle of God Almighty. It is written, he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you are able to ask or think. Jesus said, for what good work do you stone me? It is written, ye are gods. In my heart, I know that I am that same spirit. Because he said he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you're able to ask or think. Have you ever been able to ask that you would be as God? To walk as God? To talk as God? The Spirit of Truth says he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you're able to ask or even to think. I decided to think big. I'm going to see the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God and His Christ. I'm going to see hell give up its dead. I'm going to see the grave give up those that are in bondage. I'm going to see all this world blossom as a rose. I'm going to see capitalism fall to the great apostolic socialism. For as I think in my heart, so am I. And last night, the woman who was crippled and her limbs so grotesquely crippled like a pretzel before your eyes, I discerned in her heart that she saw God in me. She said, "You're God." And I said, "That visualization will heal you." And it caused her to dance around this room like a new child. It's beautiful. That's the mystery of God. God is a principle. God is love, and love is a principle. God didn't say He was a personality, but He is a principle. God is love, and love is the apostolic sharing on the New Testament day of Pentecost. And if you follow that principle, you can have as much of it as you wish to perceive. And the more of God you see in me, the more of God I shall reproduce in you. The more of love and socialism you see in me, the more I shall reproduce in you. Visualization is the source of harmonization. And harmonization is the source of supply. If you take cognizance of my teachings, and I've not even begun to teach, come up to Redwood Valley in our righteous government meeting on Tuesday night. Become a member so you can do that. It's membership meeting night. And hear the deeper truths that you've not heard in these assemblies. Or come Wednesday night, for the greatest miracles happen when you hear the teachings. When you know the truth will set you free. There are none living in lax wants and limitations who know the truth. But you say, "I come one meeting only, want to get healed." You can't get healed in one meeting only. And if you do, you better come back and get the truth, because you won't stay healed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. When you get my truth, those that have not died. As I said, you think about a congregation that's never seen a casket in it. That's something to consider. It's truly wonderful. That's never seen a casket roll before its altar. I have not held a funeral in so long, I cannot remember. It's truly wonderful. You that have come from your various churches today, your churches average a funeral a week, several funerals a month. I don't average a funeral in 5 years. In 10 years, I have conducted 3 funerals outside of the will and the mind of God. In 10 years, I have been called on to conduct 3 funerals of which were not participants of my spirit. But I have conducted the funeral of no one who knew the mind of Christ that is in me. No member in the nucleus of this family have ever died, because the spirit of resurrection is in this house. The spirit of life is in this house. The spirit of equalitarian socialism, God's mathematical principle love, God's mathematical and geometrical principle love. It's compoundable. It's reincarnatable. I long ago saw that the sky was everywhere and nowhere, that the heaven and the sky was the nothingness of all nothing. You can look in the sky for the millions of light years, and you'll find not one galaxy that has life on it. You can travel at the speed of 186,000 miles a second and sweep through space for the next 3 million light years, and you will not find heaven, because heaven is within you. The kingdom of heaven is here. Said, God is not afar off, but He's at hand. Thy kingdom come, I said, in the sonship degree. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And I am having my way, saith God. I'm healing the people. I'm bringing them together out of their racism. I'm curing them of their blindness, taking the cancers from their bodies, causing the crippled to walk, causing them to lame to leap like a hart, causing them to dance for joy. I'm feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, taking in the stranger. God has come in his fathership degree to heal the world of its wounds. If you're not clapping, it's because you're not living in the actual conscious presence of God. Song sung again unless it's played by him. What a beautiful sound to have come out as a sister who's been cancer, who spread all of her body, the last day throws of her treatment, have her bring that growth out. It's so wonderful. Praise God. Praise God. It's wonderful. God Almighty, God Almighty. That, I never heard playing like that in my mortal days. Never, never. I never heard anybody play a horn like that. Not in the church, never. We are Heavenly Father's children, and we all know that He loves us, one and all. Please bring that horn every time you come to Redwood Valley, will you? That lifts your soul, makes you feel good, frees the body. The sermon all in itself just made me feel 100% better than to have our sister come walking in. Hey, God! Doctors give up with cancer, and then just have a walk in and bring it out. Hey, it's wonderful! We are heaven. Father's children, and we all know He loves us one and all. Yet there are times when we find the answer another voice and call. Meeting, if you have a vehicle, if you own a vehicle somewhere where there is a white sweater and a white plastic coat in your car somewhere, I do urge you to get one of these cloths. I urge you to get one of the cloths. Thank you. It's coming to me. Just saved you from a very, very tragic accident. Thank God. Just move as quietly as you can, little ones. Because people here need their help. Need their help. Need their strength. Notations, things that I have to take care of. I don't call out everything, so please just keep your minds and attention, love and devotion placed upon Christ. Remember, dears, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Keep that in mind, as I told you about earlier in my sermon, or my little sermonizing. Yes, for a moment I had my thoughts on the sweater, and it was really good that that sweater was spoiled, because we don't need any place but God to have our treasure. others have asked me, how do you manifest this gift? Jim, I'd like to know how you do it. I can't give you any direct message of how I do it, but I can tell you that there are certain procedures that I've followed through the years that have brought it about. Self-denial. Said, if any man would come after me, let him first take up his cross, Jesus said. Deny himself and take up his cross. I'm as confident as I sit here if I owned fancy cars and homes and dressed in the wasteful manner of many people, even ministers, all sorts of flowery designs and beautiful, beautiful styles, Madison Avenue suits and Brooks Brothers suits, alligator shoes and so forth and so on, I'm positive that I wouldn't have this blessing. If I had not adopted 8 children through the years, legally, I would not have had this gift. So what's that got to do with it? It said, suffer little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. If daily I didn't go from my senior citizen homes there on the church property, one to another, and see the older ones and take care of them, I mean really nurse them. Not only meditate for them, but nurse them. Nothing that I won't do. If they have an impaction in their bowels, I take my hands and break it up. Break up that impaction. Give them an enema. Clean it out. Because I know a lot about natural therapies and how to be tender to an older person. Sometimes when they come into you at first particularly, they will have this awful impacted bow. It'll be just like as big as your fist. And there's only one way you can break it up. Only one way you can break it up, and that's with your fingers. And I don't think if I didn't have that kind of tender, loving care that reached out to people when they had that kind of a need, I'm positive if I hadn't had that kind of love that's broke up 1,000 impactions, I've gone at least 1,000 times with my fingers into their inner area to break up the terrible misery of the toxic that's caused there by the impaction. Give them enemas or bathe their feet. I wouldn't have this gift. All of it correlates, you see. All of it correlates. You can't separate me from it. And that's how it started. Someone asked me back there, said, I'm coming into what you have. And I hope you are, because certainly it's needed. But the person that approached me, I had some question about it, whether you were quite ready. I accept all races as one. There's no respect of persons in God. I don't acknowledge any color, a national difference. All are one in Him. And I said, I love every little thing, every animal, every plant. There's not a plant I don't nurture around my place. Not a broken limb that I'm not concerned about. I think it's feeling. It's bearing you one another's burdens. Caring so much that you'll take the infirmities upon you. And if you are willing to do that, I think that you can maybe not just have as precise a gift as I have in the 100-fold manifestation, because there's 34, 64, 100-fold realms in God. But I am sure if you care, you'll be a source of healing wherever you go, if you feel for people, if you want to bear their burdens. You may not call them out like I do and heal them in the exact manner that I do, or raise the dead perhaps, because there are unique apostolic ministries. Not everyone can be in the 100-fold company immediately. We all come at varying times into our consciousness of Christ. But as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man after his own order. So don't try to get to the place where I am metaphysically, parapsychologically, or the paranormal faculty, the supernatural faculties. I have all nine gifts, and I have each of the fivefold ministries manifested through me. I'm an apostle, I'm yet a pastor, I'm a teacher, I'm an evangelist, and I certainly am a prophet. So all of those ministries are in one. And that doesn't make me one bit better than you. It's my responsibility to use those gifts that I have. Those aptitudes and callings are for the edification of the body of Christ. And it's my duty to express my talents and gifts just as you are in responsibility to express your gifts and talents. No one honors me in the flesh by even giving me a birthday gift or a Christmas gift. I will not permit it, for I believe that no flesh shall glory in the presence of God. So that is the reason that we in our temple have equal birthdays. Each month we celebrate everyone's birthday and give them the same gift. Each Christmas, every child gets the same amount of Christmas. Out of the hundreds, thousands in our temple, they all get the same Christmas. And every week, I personally, rare exceptions, this week I was busy involved in baptizing. We baptized several, nearly 1,500 people in the last few weeks. By immersion, just since May. But this time I did not get to give out, but usually on Wednesday night I will pass out the allowances to every child, and every child in our church gets the same allowance. That's why there's no thievery amongst the children. So they don't steal from one another, they don't have to. They all have the same benefits. One child doesn't feel threatened by another. And one day we hope to see it, that every child will have exactly the same amount of money to be spent for clothes. Doesn't have to dress just like the other fellow, but to have the same amount. When a child is secure, when he has what he needs, he will not steal. Our children don't steal off of us. In many churches you can't go to without someone stealing from you, stealing your purse, taking things from you. But our little fellows know that they're loved. They're learning. The ones that are in the family know that their pastor, that Uncle Jim, will be there every week to give them the same allowance that any other child, whether it's the son of the district attorney or the deputy district attorney, we have two district attorneys in our church, or be a medical person, or if it be someone who's working in the fields, every child gets the same allowance. Now, I'm answering this question because you posed it. Walking down the aisles, I had several ask me the question. I've never bothered to discuss this before, but you wanted to know something of what makes me tick. And this is what makes me tick. This feeling of concern for all living things. The feeling that God is not a respecter of persons, and the respecter of persons is sin. The feeling that each one of my members of my senior citizen home must have the same amount of food and vitamins and bedding and facilities and medical care and spiritual care as the next one. The absolute necessity imposed upon me that no child shall be without what he needs, that no member shall be without what he needs, that no animal shall go in all of our vast territory hungry. That's what makes the hundredfold come forth in you. Now, some of you who have been apostolic for years, you understand that there's 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Most churches content themselves only being 30% filled with God. That's not enough God to get you through these times. Some are satisfied with 60-fold Pentecostal experience, a little deeper. But that's still only 60% God. But then some are pressing on to the prize and the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus, 100% God. God's. That's what Jesus came to make you realize. And that we are to be, we who are predestined and preordained and who are in his foreknowledge, are also preordained to become conformable to the image and likeness of the Son of God. We are to be like Christ in every way. We are to be perfect even as he and the Heavenly Father is perfect. The purpose is to be just exactly like God, to be miniature replicas of God Almighty in the earth. That's what I have come to show you, that you can be God and that all men can be God if they will yield themselves to the movement of the Spirit of Truth and will pour out mortality, selfishness, and the urge to gain, accumulate, capitalistic, aggrandizing spirits. If they will eliminate it, God can come in and take over the body. Now it's here today, it can be gone tomorrow. Just because you have the Spirit here today doesn't mean it won't be gone tomorrow. You've got to work at it 24 hours a day. Well, I answered that question, I presume, as best it could be answered. We don't see enough of each other, you know, darlings, and I feel like we ought to communicate a little bit back and forth so you understand what I believe, what I feel, what I think. I don't want you to be harmonizing with me if you don't understand what I'm saying. There's got to be a manifestation of the sons of God. If they're not a manifestation of the sons of God, we're finished. If we don't become living epistles read and known of all men, we are finished. What do we have to look to but the anointing? The Bible tells you that no man can call Jesus Christ except by the Holy Ghost or the anointing. Christ, the Holy Ghost, the anointing, revolution, whatever word you want to speak of, that Spirit, that's the only way you can know what exists. You can't know anything without the Holy Ghost. The Bible is not clear. The letter killeth. 2 Corinthians 3:16 says the letter kills. The Bible kills. In other words, letter to Romans, letter to Corinthians. The Bible kills, but the Spirit, what is the Spirit of God? Love. Love makes alive. See, the Bible was written by King James of England, not James the brother of Jesus. It'd be wonderful if it was James the brother of Jesus, but it was written by King James of England. Who was King James? A despot. He persecuted the American colonists. He killed the blacks by putting them in the good ship Jesus. Sent them here in slavery. Threw mothers out that were pregnant outside into the waters for the sharks to eat. I'm talking about the King James of England. I'm not going to say very much about this. He persecuted early Indians. King James can't show you the way to God. He's translated this marvelous truth that's there, but he's also emasculated it somewhat, because anyone knows if your heart is right, if you look at the Bible, just for instance Matthew 1:16 and Luke 3:23, and trace the genealogy of Jesus. Now if you're very honest, you can't help but admit what I'm saying is true. If you trace the birth of Jesus through Joseph in Matthew, the first chapter, and the 16th verse, and Luke, the third chapter, and the 23rd verse, what do you find? One place, Jesus' father is Joseph. The other place, it is also Joseph. But what about the grandfather? One place says his grandfather was Matthan. The other one says his grandfather was what? Matthat, M-A-T-T-H-A-T, as opposed to M-A-T-T-H-A-N. But it gets even worse as you go on. You trace him on back to Abraham, and in one place he's got 15 more grandparents than he does in the other. You know it's true. If you ever stop to think about those things, say, well, it doesn't bother me. Well, it's bothering your children. That's how the colleges are defeating the faith that was once delivered to the saints. They show the exposures of the dead letter. Errors of the dead letter. That's why you have to have the Holy Ghost to show you what's true and what's error. That's why I said, how can you hear without a preacher? How can he preach lest to be said? Faith doesn't come by reading, but faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What is the Word of God? just getting up and preaching about heaven, that's not the Word of God. The Word of God's what I did a while ago with the woman. There's been three cancers here that have been told, the intents and the thoughts of the minds, and the three cancers passed here today. What did it say? Hebrews 4:12 said the Word of God was, said it was sharper than two-edged sword, to the dividing the bone and the marrow. That's what you saw when the woman's hand was like this, and her leg was bent over, and she ran like a child. That's what you saw this very day, this very week. That's what you saw when the cripples marched around with their left their wheelchairs and had their crutches in hand to look like a parade on July 4th. You saw the Word dividing the bone from the marrow. And now listen closely. Listen closely. Then the Word of God is, listen closely over there. Somebody needs to hear it. It's a discerner of the thought, Hebrews 4:12 said, and it knows the intents of the heart. Here I told people things about their life. I told them about loved ones that they'd never spoke to anyone else. I told them about people that had gone, when they'd gone. I told someone about things that only would be in her mind, except when she'd grown flowers years ago. Only in her mind. Now that's what the Word of God is. And unless that comes into the church, your young people are going to read Mark Twain, who shows the Bible in the letters to the earth to be full of errors. It's going to go into Common Sense with Age of Reason, written by Thomas Paine, who was one of the founding fathers of this country. He shows the Bible to be full of contradictions. And if you don't have the power of the anointing, people, you're going to lose your children. So I take it by faith. Children are not doing it anymore. They've got to know what they're doing. They've got to believe in what they're doing. They've got to study to show themselves approved, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Now some think that's rightly dividing King James. Well, in part that is, but also truth comes out of prophets today. The Word of God is still proceeding out of the mouth of God. The Word of God is still being made flesh today. I am bringing the Word of God out of this body right here in this atmosphere today that healed cancers and caused crippling diseases to be removed. Now, you that want to harness me back there, or before I get in the door, about what I believe, and you want to harass me. Now, if King James doesn't know who Jesus' grandfather is, why are you worried about the letter? What you need is a spirit, and the spirit is love. God is love. Whosoever loveth is born of God. If I come with love, healing the sick, raising the dead, you don't have a thing to worry about. It's God. You can't have anything more you worry about. Don't have anything to worry about. All good and perfect gifts come down from the Father of lights, whom there's no shadow of variableness of eternity. You have nothing to fear because the other fella does not create love, but he is a destroyer from the beginning. And it says he will appear as an angel of light. In the Hebrew, that says he will camouflage as an angel of light. The devil can never do a good thing. Whatever you call the devil, it never healed one sick soul. It never fed one hungry child. It never took in one needy person. It never raised one dead person. Never. So you don't have a thing to fear. If love is present, then it's God. I hope you get the message. Some of you are so traditionalized. You're bound by the letter till you judge everybody and everything by your little knothole. You miss God because you're going to listen to what King James of England said, who murdered little children, who was an alcoholic. King James of England, 1611, right there in your book. He was the drunkenest king that there was in England. He was a drunk. Well, are you saying that the truth is not there? Yes, it's there, but what did I say? How can you hear without a prophet, as it says originally? How can he prophesy lest he be sent? Didn't say you were saved by the foolishness of reading the Bible. It said you are saved by the foolishness of preaching. A man or woman that you're sitting under doesn't have the gifts of the Spirit, doesn't have the fruits of the Spirit, doesn't love children, doesn't take in the needy, doesn't heal the sick, doesn't minister to the needs of humanity, I'd get out of that church, because you don't need anybody just standing up reading to you out of the dead letter, because the Bible kills, but the Spirit makes alive. That's just as plain as the nose on your face if you'll face it. Because all through, I've got a little booklet back there that the letter killeth, and it's, we never let money stand in your way if you wish it. That I composed to show you some of the great truths in the Bible. So how do you know what's truth? How do I know when a person's got cancer? How do I know what medicines they're taking? How do I know what food they're eating? How do I know what they're thinking? Then if I know what you're thinking, I should know what is truth and what is error. Because it's the Word. It's the Word that's here. The Word that's sharper than a two-edged sword. I am fulfilling Hebrews 4:12. I'm living in the consciousness of the ever-presence of God. The actual conscious presence of God is the Word. The Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. It's never been taken out of the flesh. The Word has always been in the flesh. He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I will not leave you nor forsake you, even unto the end of the world. Is it not true? Why, after Jesus was buried and put in the tomb, he wasn't in the tomb just a matter of hours. Just a matter of hours. And Mary come walking out of the tomb, sorrowful and depressed in heart, lowly in spirit, depressed about the fact that they had laid her Savior in the tomb. And she met a man by the way, the scripture says. Didn't it say it? She talked to this man by the way and told him about how her Savior had been taken from her and he was in the tomb. And Mary thought it was who? The gardener. She said it was the gardener, but your Bible says it was Jesus Christ. He didn't look the same because Mary had been with him. She'd bathed his feet. She'd supped with him for 3 years. She'd had him in her home. Mary and Martha had entertained him. But that same Jesus, that same Spirit, that same anointing had taken on another body, and she didn't recognize him because she was looking for the same kind of hair and the same color of eyes and the same gestures, and thus she didn't know the mind of God. The word means mind. She failed to realize that God had already picked up another body, and she was so mixed up she called it the gardener. God always has had a body. God always will have a body. He's never been without a body, and he always will have a body. The temple of the Holy Ghost is simple enough what I preach. He said, don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? That your bodies are the tabernacle of God? That means you, the temple means that you are God's body. Now, you'd look very funny if you had the body of a frog, if you didn't have the head of a frog. If you've got the body of God, then you've got the mind of God. You won't have the body of God until you have the mind of God. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, considered it not robbery to be equal with God. That's the mystery of which I have come to bring, to entertain your thoughts and aspirations to enter into. Note what he said to all of us in Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of a slave. Jesus come out of Nazareth. No good thing ever came out of Nazareth. No good thing ever came out of Nazareth. They said, who being in the form of a slave, considered it not robbery to be equal with God. Why has the church neglected this marvelous truth? Go home and read that. Study that. Think of that. Jesus, who being in the form of a servant, that slave, considered it not robbery to be equal with God. That's what you've got to start thinking. You're not, though you may be poor, though you may be the down and outs, though you may be the lowliest of low, you've got to say, I consider...